I want you to fire me.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
What's up, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of Elite POV. I'm one of your hosts, Phil Cataldo, but you can call me Philium, and we are blessed with having the original four of Elite POV here because, of course, it is WrestleMania season, baby.
Yes.
AEW WrestleMania, aka AEW Revolution, was last night. We were very excited to talk about an incredible pay-per-view that we had to find Ant in Chicago after eating a donut and bring him back on the show. So
it was
welcome
a
back.
Muffin. It was a fucking muffin.
Welcome back, CM Punk himself, Anthony DeStefano. What is up?
What's up? It feels good to be back talking about pro wrestling for one night, and then I'll get tired of it. But hello, chat. I hope everyone's doing well. Jackie and I got to hang out and watch the event last night. What an event. Can't wait to talk about it. My boy did not come back, but there were a lot of hints. And Phil is not letting me talk about him. So him, Redacted did not come back last night, but Redacted may come back.
If you know anything about me as the sole owner of Elite POV,
he said CM Punk. You can say Phil Brooks. I mean, that's okay.
No,
I own the rights to Phil.
Okay, so you own his name. Gotcha.
Yeah, you have to just say Brooks.
All right, Vince.
TV. Yeah, Brooks.
Apparently, Vince is back tonight too. So
AJ's husband didn't come back last night, but AJ's husband might come back.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah.
Shout out to Carrie in the chat. She knows.
Mr. Mendez.
Yeah, Mr. Mendez is hilarious.
One thing I can say is I'm loyal to a fault, even for my friends. So I'm loyal to a fault. I know. It's a problem.
Okay. Well, the one normal person on the show who had to have the greatest freak out ever, but quietly in her own mind because Mr. Anthony's kids were sleeping. The last thing you want to do is wake up kids.
Mr. Anthony.
Mr. Anthony.
On Nicole, Jackie screaming at Nicole, like, what the fuck are you screaming about?
Oh, my God. It was, I had to have a fangirl moment on a school night, so I had to do it very tamely.
Wow.
But yeah, what a freaking return for my boys, FTR, overall the pay-per-view. It has ups and downs, but the good matches were freaking great. So, I'm excited to talk about it, and I'm really glad that Ant and I got to watch it together, and unfortunately, we broke our streak. We had our pay-per-view streak going on, watching all together, but that's life.
But, you brought me back. The only reason I'm back is because I watched last night with Jackie, because I haven't watched AEW programming in like 4 months.
I told Jackie, don't worry, we'll start a new streak because we ain't watching Double or Nothing together.
And I was like, whoa, Jeff Jarrett's in AEW?
Yeah, no, I knew he was because Phil. That's the only reason. I didn't know he was in a tag match until I saw Phil's tweet, and I was like, oh, man. Shit.
Listen,
you walk away for 6 months, and all of a sudden, Orange Cassidy and Danhausen and, you know, Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal in a tag title match, and you're like, oh, this is
the last time you watched it was the Lucha Bros, Jurassic Express, the Young Bucks, FTR. You're like, okay. And the final voice on the show, the best producer ever, Kyle Masters.
His ring light just collapsed on him.
Yo, I'm going to stop giving you compliments because I feel like every time I compliment you, something bad happens.
But, and last night too, my fucking internet went out, so I couldn't even watch it live. Fucking internet companies, man. Obviously, blame me on the weather. But, you know, I got to calm down. I got something here. I'm going to calm down. Look at this.
Is it a muffin?
That's a good fucking pickle, man. Anyone want pickle?
I don't like pickles, actually.
Yo, the fact that he threatened that guy.
Yeah.
No, you're going to go get this pickle. I was like,
get the fucking pickle.
Actually, this was a good pickle. I'm actually eating the pickle.
That clip, I think somebody posted it of like the other angle, not the AEW angle they were showing, but like the side angle where you see him come in with the crutch and he's like talking shit. I'm like, that is literally Ant. at every wrestling show we've ever been to where we stayed overnight and he's tired. That was Ant, for anybody who wants to know, that was Ant in the car after WrestleMania in
fucking
Jersey.
Hoagie, bro. A fucking hoagie.
You were meant to be MJF, bro. In one another way.
I might be his inspiration. Listen, exactly why my favorite wrestler is CM Punk. I'm an asshole. What can I say? I just tell it like it is. Tell me when I'm telling lies.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see on this podcast how it goes.
Hi, Isaac. Yeah, so I love you.
A lot to talk about. Huge card. So before we get into each individual match, so I'm very interested to know, because there are a few matches that could take this title. I want to know what everyone's favorite match of the night was, and then we'll go into further detail later. So, Kyle, I want to start with you. Oh, what was your favorite match of the night?
He didn't fucking watch.
I watched this morning. No, I watched this morning.
Yeah, he watched.
I made sure I stayed off Twitter. It took like all the power in the world for me to stay off Twitter. Because I know as soon as I log in, even just to check a notification, I'm going to see something that's going to spoil something. But regardless, it's a whole different experience when you're watching back on your own. You know what I mean? Like you kind of take in the show or the pay-per-view you're watching a little differently. So I watched without any distractions, just sat here and watched it from start to finish. Weirdly enough, it was between two matches. One was the pre-show, to be honest. It was between that match, because that six-man tag was unreal. And I was a really big fan of the Texas Death Match. Like, that was really good. I know the six-man trios match was just like, you know, a wrestling fan's wet dream, and myself. Those were really good match. It's tough because I want to keep, obviously the Ironman match is going to top all the other matches. So I didn't include the Ironman match because that's naturally going to be everyone's favorite match because they did such a great job with it. So if I'm not including the Ironman match, it's between the six man tag and the Texas Death Match. Obviously the Ironman match is going to top all if you're going to include it, because they did a hell of a job from start to finish with the Ironman match. The story they told in it, how they showed it on television, how they put it together, it came out perfectly. Like it couldn't have came out better. Literally, because the only thing they messed up, I think, in the Ironman match was MJF fumbled the belt trying to hand it to the referee, and the whole crowd chanted, "You fucked up." And then obviously MJF's great at reacting on the spot, reacts on the spot and just yells at the crowd. But that's
why MJF's the man.
Yeah, that's it for me though.
So, Ant, what was yours?
So I'm just going to address something that Kyle said. Watching alone, it is different, because usually when I watch alone, I fall asleep like real early. So, yeah, I don't watch alone a lot. But my favorite match was definitely the Iron Man match. I mean, you go in there and there's so many questions. Can MJF hang with, you know, Bryan Danielson? To me, Bryan Danielson, it's no discussion. Best wrestler of the world, maybe the best wrestler of all time. In the ring, like, the dude can pull a match out of anyone. But the question was, we haven't seen MJF go long. Oh, we haven't seen MJF in this style of match. MJF blended every single style. I mean, he went for a springboard moonsault at one point, right? So MJF showed he belonged there. It was MJF's best match of his career. The ending was great, and it was the little touches, right? The little touches in that match made it so special. I love the rule that your opponent doesn't have to get up, and you could just go pin, because it plays to the heel's advantage, like MJF, low blow, pin, pin, to tie it up. But at the end, it was the little touch of Bryan Danielson didn't get the oxygen, and MJF did get the oxygen. So they're laying in the ring, and MJF has the oxygen on when they're announcing that the match has to be restarted, and Bryan's using all of his adrenaline, pumping the crowd up, and then the oxygen gave MJF not only, you know, the breath to win, but it gave him an actual weapon to win. So the oxygen cost Danielson in two ways. It's like little touches like that I thought was perfect. And as much as I want it redacted to come out at the end, I'm glad he didn't, because the shot of MJF, the shot of MJF exhausted, bloody, sitting in a corner with the belt, that's exactly how you get off the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Jackie, what about you? Favorite match of the night?
Ooh. It is probably a close tie between House of Black versus the Elite and the Texas Death Match for two very different reasons, but I'm going to lean towards the Elite versus House of Black. Just the athleticism in the match, the storytelling of the match. I want Kenny Omega in singles matches versus every single member of the House of Black. Julia taking that V trigger, girl. Shout out to her for that, because could never be me. But no, the match was absolutely exceptional, as we knew it would be. And obviously, I am more than thrilled with the results, because the House of Black are your new Trios champions, and you love to see it.
Yeah, my favorite match of the night was also the Trios match. At number two, I would have the Texas Death Match, and then three would be the Iron Man match. Those were my top three. But I really liked every match except for the tag team title match, because I didn't watch it, because I don't give a fuck about anything that Jeff Jarrett is involved in. So I gladly skipped that one. But we can start off where Jackie mentioned. We can start off first with the Elite versus the House of Black. We saw finally the House of Black does something of importance. Finally, they win a match and they win the AEW Trios Championship. So after being gone all this time and then coming back and the House of Black wins, how did you feel to see them, and did you enjoy this match?
Oh, the match. I mean, anytime the Bucks and Omega are in a match, it's gonna slap, right? There's no better in-ring competitor storytellers than the Elite. Every little detail, every little thing that they do is planned. And then you add in, you know, Buddy Matthews, who I think is criminally underrated. Criminally underrated. That dude is next level. I think he's just as good as the Omegas and the MJFs and them. I really do. I think he's that good. Malachi is awesome. His strikes are amazing. And then you add in the Bruiser, Brody, right? Like, Brody is a beast, but he kept up in that match, which was super impressive, because a lot of smaller guys flying around, and Brody was able to match that energy. I think the match was fantastic. The best spot was the end. I thought Matt Jackson's face got shattered into like
Nick.
I thought Nick Jackson's face got shattered, because you did not get your hands up to block that knee. That knee that knee caught him in the face. And it was beautifully done. It's about time Malachi has a championship belt in this company. What's next for them? Who knows? But I think that you did the right thing by putting it on the House of Black, because now they can dominate and the Elite can go do stuff with Redacted.
You could say CM Punk.
I'm not allowed. You told me you had a strict.
No, but he's right. You need to do something with the House of Black. Like, you need to, like, yeah, it's great that they have the titles, but make the decision mean something. It's one thing to put titles on someone, but if you just have them just sit there with titles, have like a random match with no meaning here and there, what's the point of even putting the titles on them? We need a feud, a trios feud.
Yeah, that's the biggest fear that I have with this, right? Because remember, when the Young Bucks had their title run and everybody was like, you know, thinking FTR was going to be the one to take the titles off them, but it ended up being the Lucha Bros. They did nothing with them. And then we're like, all right, it's boring. And then Jurassic Express took those titles, and then they did even less with Jurassic Express. And the tag team division, other than, you know, the brief storyline between Swerve and Our Glory and Acclaimed, has been a mess since the Young Bucks lost it the first time. But that's my only fear with the Trios. It's like, what, just because the Elite teams don't hold it, well, there's a ton of Trios. It doesn't.
You're going to run through Dark Order. You're going to run through Best Friends. Like,
I don't care what they do. I need them on TV every week. I need promos. I need matches. There's plenty of Trios. They could do some cool stuff. We saw in the first segment, I know they lost, but the Varsity Athletes have a great presentation. They do a good job. They're great heels. Mark Sterling is fantastic. And Josh Woods in anything is great as a wrestler. You can do a whole bunch of cool stuff. It doesn't have to be these crazy storylines, but just have the House of Black kill people for like 3 months until Double or Nothing. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
I don't see a problem. I mean, I would like to see them get more solo stuff, though. Singles action.
Yeah, I mean, you can build
towards something. Build towards something.
You can have like the odd Trios match here, just kind of like a showcase, right? Like, you're a dominant Trios team, so you're going through the division as the champions. What they can do at one point, if they really want to, is build a team out of a feud. Like, have them target like one person, and, you know, they're getting their ass kicked by the House of Black, like week on and week on by all three of them, and have them maybe join up with an existing doubles team, and then make a trios team out of that to go up against the House of Black.
Yeah.
not beat them, yeah. but like, you know what I mean? Make a story out of it.
I think the money's in Blackpool Combat Club versus House of Black.
No, I think the money is in Blackpool Combat Club versus the reformed elite. So I think they're going to keep everybody separate for
that's
now.
That's true.
That's true. So Ascended in the chat, bro, you're so lucky I can't control muting people because you be muted real quick. I don't want to see Jeff Jarrett get another fucking title.
Oh, you know that's coming. Here we go. Double J.
Oh, my God.
Trios title.
Don't put that energy out into the universe. Don't do it.
Please. It's your fault if it fucking happens on Dynamite this week and I have to sit through it.
You know you're
going to
get...
We're going to talk to you.
It's not even Sanjay Dutt. It's going to be with Big Man. Jeff Jarrett and Jeff Jarrett. They're going to be holding them trios belts.
Oh, my God. Kill me. Kill me. So the cool thing, and we've gone too long without being able to mention it, they gave me what I wanted, and that is Kenny Omega versus Buddy Matthews.
They
started the match almost like they were looking directly at me through the camera.
Yeah.
I was super excited. Now, TK, you got to do it. Give me Mercedes versus Kenny Omega.
It's getting worse. It's getting done. They had Britt go out there and tease it, you know? So it's coming.
I want Kenny versus Mercedes straight up.
That's what I mean, though.
Mixed tag.
No. They had Britt go out and put the feeler out there, right? You know, so she's coming in. And when comes in.
Mercedes in the interview said she'll accept any challenge. Yeah. Kenny, I need you to get up on that stage and challenge Mercedes.
Face me for the U.S. title.
Wild.
Title for title.
It's going to be nuts. But yeah, it was a great match. You know, everybody had such a great time watching it. The wrestling Twitter was loving all the cool stuff that they were doing, all the great spots. Like Ant said, Nick almost dying. They did the Brody King spot where he was choking. I think Nick again. We saw the funny stuff. He just gets his ass whooped. He's such an underrated wrestler because every time he goes out there,
the Julia Hart spot was hilarious, though. That was my favorite spot when she got fucking V triggered and then Kane just looked down and went, "Well, you shouldn't be in the way."
I know Jackie's.
Yeah.
Then he had the best sell of a black mass I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
Turned right into it.
and sat down, and I was like, "Oh, that's amazing."
And it was like a throwback. Black Mask from when he used to do it at NXT where to this day, I know he's like a professional kickboxer or Muay Thai fighter and like he has like, you know, great control of his legs. But the fact that he spins with such force and like stops right here before kicking your fucking head off is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in wrestling.
He's so great out there. And it's like nobody is in the ring doing the style of fighting that he's doing. He's so graceful about it and so precise with it. And all of his kicks sound like gunshots. It's like, it's insane out there. It's such an entertaining thing to see Malakai out there. They all looked freaking great with the gold
paint.
Like, you know, little subtle nods to maybe throwing some gold around their waist.
Did you see that Julia's outfit was picked out by Brody Lee? Like Brody Lee helped her pick out Brody King helped her pick out the outfit.
Yeah.
Which is pretty
cool. Well, shout out to him because I thought it was freaking badass. And
that was Jackie's favorite part.
I thought she got her outfit from like WrestleMania 14 Undertaker, but that's just.
You're a mess. Jackie wanted that stylist name so bad.
Give her my number. Give him my number because it could be anybody. But now we see it's Brody. So Brody, hit me up. Style me too, man.
Yeah, hit our girl up, man. Let's get Jackie out here with the weird shit on her fingers.
Yeah,
the Undertaker top hat.
Yeah,
exactly.
But now speaking of the Undertaker, here's a great way to transition. A match that ended up being really fun that had no business being that fun because the name that they chose to do a Buried Alive match was fucking awful. The Final Burial is such a terrible name. But we have Jungle Boy versus Christian in the Final Burial match. So as someone who has not watched this product for the last couple months.
I looked at Jackie and said, why the fuck are they in a Buried Alive match?
See, that's tough for you, that's tough for him that he's missed all the story. So like it's tough.
I've known the story, like if the story's
but you haven't been watching though. So like you can't.
But I was on the show when the story started. That's how long ago this shit started. Like I was there at All Out. Didn't they fight at All Out?
He fought Luchasaurus. No,
as a full gear.
So the story
fight All Out. Yeah,
but I've been in the story. Like the story's been going. I was shocked. The story's still going. Two, Why is Christian Cage wearing a fucking turtleneck to wrestle? Three. Why is this a coffin match? But it delivered because Jungle Boy is really good. What bothers me is this dude comes out in jeans and he's still wearing his boots, his Jungle Boy boots. I'm like, bro, can't put on like Tim's or something? Got to wrestle in the Jungle Boy boots still? Just drop the Jungle Boy thing.
No, he's Jack Perry now. He's Jungle Boy Jack Perry. We should need to keep the Jungle Boy.
Okay, you don't need to be a Jungle Boy, okay?
No, he's Jungle Boy. Don't take this away from me. Guys. He's just going to be fucking Jack Perry.
It's a slow transition.
Why is his sister on TV more than Andrade's ever been? What's up with that?
Well, that's Andrade's fault. And that's his fault. Andrade kind of...
Before he got hurt. Yeah. She's been on TV more than Andrade. She's been on TV more...
Andrade, he dug his own grave there.
Oh, pun intended. I like that.
I was going to say. Yeah,
that match was fun. Now, I think Christian's really good. I think Christian's going to go back to the Fed and help Edge with Finn Balor's crew. House of Black Light. Yeah.
House of Black Light.
Jackie, what'd you think of the match? And more importantly, what'd you think of that final spot when he closed the casket and it like plummeted?
That scared the crap out of me because I wasn't expecting that at all. I thought it was just going to be like, oh, he's going to close the coffin and then he's going to maybe throw some dirt on it and he's going to be done with it. That thing just like descended into the depths of hell or the depths of the stage, you know, depending on how you want to look at it. But
Comment, Jackie?
What was the comment?
I said, damn, that was better than the exploding ring match.
Oh, he said, what if they gave it the pyro of the exploding barbed wire match?
Just sparklers coming out of it.
But no, I mean, like, if that's going to be the final thing that we see of Christian Cage, because apparently his contract is coming up, and if that's going to be the way that they send him off, it's an interesting way to do it. But it also kind of gives Jungle Boy the rub on his, you know, on Christian's way out.
Yo, if I'm Christian, I'm coming back as the Brood, because now I'm, like, in the casket and stuff. Like the Brood's coming back. Like call Gangrella right now. We're getting.
Yeah, he's gonna do that in WWE. Baby.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would do though. Like it just ties together.
Drop the Easter egg.
Yep. What if they do some cool shit? I mean, WWE never does cool shit, so they wouldn't have fun like this. But what if it was like Edge versus Finn Balor in a casket match, and as Finn Balor opens it, Christian's in it, and he's like in the same outfit.
Thing?
Yeah.
First off, why did Jungle Boy take 15 minutes to close the damn lid?
All right, so funny that you say that. I think I know why. Clearly, they were setting up whatever fucking thing was underneath that was going to drop him. Because he was, like, just standing there. He was, like, looking at his watch. Like, bro, close the fucking door. Even the announcers were like, close the door.
No, the announcers did not say close. I thought
they were trying to play it off like he was remorseful.
Yeah, that's exactly what the commentator said.
Now I'm on Ant's side. I was like, close the goddamn door.
Yeah, you just said the commentator said close it. They didn't. They were actually like playing up the remorse story of it.
Wasn't JR still on commentary at that point? Everything's null and void.
Yes, he was on commentary for like the first.
Right. Well, by God, remember when Mick Foley went to rest in 1995? Shut up.
Well, I'm going to give my two cents. I thought it was... I have something to nitpick here, but because of the story, and I've been following this since the start, I have actually enjoyed this match because I enjoyed the hell out of Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy at Full Gear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously they wanted to do Christian and Jungle Boy sooner, but Christian got injured. So they kind of had to wait a little bit. And that's probably why it got a little bit stale and took so long. But now that Christian came back now it was 100% and could do something. They're like, hey, how do we tie the story up and wrap it up in a quick fashion? Here comes the final burial match. Interesting name. I don't even think this was 100% thought up. This is where my nitpick comes.
The final burial was smart, though, because it's his final match.
So this is where I think it wasn't fully thought up. Because if you listen, if you go back and watch, it would think it was during Christian's entrance or right before his entrance hit. The commentary teams were talking about the rules of the match where you put your opponent in the casket and then they say on commentary and then bury it over top with dirt with the shovel at ringside. There was no bury of dirt at all. So, like, when the thing dropped, I'm waiting for Jungle Boy to start shoveling the dirt, and he goes towards the stage. I'm like, okay, so they clearly didn't really talk this one through on how to kind of
because it turned into the deal. Terror, fucking terror. They fucking went on it and dropped that. Like, which, it's like a ride.
At the same, for a weird reason, I kind of appreciate that more than if the casket just stood there. You know what I mean? If the casket just stood there, I was never a fan of casket matches, though. Mm-hmm. So like,
no, I first off, I'm claustrophobic. It bugs me out, right? It fucking bugs me out. But I get why they did it. It's just, to me, it's like we've seen it enough with the Darby thing. Like, it kind of, the casket and coffin matches to me kind of lost its thing. Lost its luster because it kind of belonged to one person. I get why they did it. I still think the match was fantastic, though. Like, I thought I was going to be bored, and I had a really good time during that match.
I have a question. Yeah. So, you know how the crowd takes, like, people's drinks and that? Do you think they get those replaced? Because that guy in the crowd lost an entire beer over $16.
I do not think they get them replaced.
That is $16 right there for that tall boy all over Christian, and that he probably had like three sips out of it.
I just can't wait for the new Christian shirt that's like, do the work again. Again,
rise do the work from hell.
Rise from like the dead again.
One more match. Again.
Jackie, what'd you think?
Well, I mean, I gave my thoughts earlier, but like,
we talked for so long, I forgot.
Hey, Phil, what'd you think?
But no, it was.
But I think, you know, I'm just interested in what Jackie thought. You know,
okay. Right.
Jackie, repeat what you said.
Word for word.
Yeah.
Verbatim.
So the next match that I want to talk about, the triple threat women's match. Jamie Hayter versus Saraya versus Ruby, because this is a match that I saw some people did not like the way it ended online, even though it was super telegraphed. Yeah, well, you weren't on wrestling Twitter last night when it happened. A lot of people were upset about Ruby turning heel.
But they're wrong.
Even though it made complete sense. But as a match, I thought it was a great match.
It was.
You know, awesome. I thought I had a lot of fun. They beat the shit out of each other, which is all you want the woman to do, especially if they're going to lead to blood and guts, which it seems they're doing. I love the ending. I love the swerve. Shout out to Toni Storm. Thank God she got that OnlyFans money, because she's gonna have to buy a new camera for AEW. Because even the announcers were like, "Oh boy, that was not a smart decision."
That's in the six figures. They said it was in the six figures. I'm like, ooh, I don't know.
That's an expensive ass camera. Holy shit! But Jackie, what'd you think of the triple threat women's match?
I thought it was really good, especially for the fact that it was the only women's match on the card, and it had to do a lot of work in terms of like showcasing the AEW women's division. I think all three women showed out. Jamie Hayter, when she gets out there, that pop is insane. That crowd absolutely loves her, and I was just like crossing all my fingers. I mean, I had a feeling, but I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, do not take that belt off of her. Now, do not take that belt off of her anytime soon, because that crowd is just absolutely enamored with her, and rightfully so, because she always looks like a beast out there. She freaking kills it. But Ruby and Saraya also held their own. They did great with the match. I don't know why anybody would be upset with the ending. That seems so illogical to me. Like, she came in from the WWE.
Her destination was unknown.
She is technically
fucking didn't know it.
Outsider.
Now
why
she does.
Would yeah. she like why would she do anything other than side with Saraya and Tony? Like that's the logical.
Wait, hold
route.
Up, hold up. People were mad.
Yes.
Because she joined that side.
I think they're more mad.
Are,
we know.
Are they idiots?
We know her destination now. I think that's why they're upset.
They're like, "Oh, we love Destination Unknown." Now it's done.
Destination Unknown.
But it's like Jackie said, like the story is the outsiders versus the original. Ruby is an outsider, so she would of course join the outsiders. Yes. It's not like heel versus babyface. It's
not that hard to figure out why people mad.
It's right there. Because you know what it is? Called? People do not, and this is not a shot at you, Ant. People do not watch the show every week, and they just tune into the fucking Big Dynamites with their fucking weird names, like fucking Bash at the Beach,
Quiver by the River,
Quack Cadillac. Right? We understand this, and then they watch the pay per views. I don't know why people spend $50 on a product
because I'm exhausted, I'm injured, and I work with fucking children. That's
exactly.
Why.
But like.
Redacted.
Come on, bro. It was clear as day that they were going to do this. But Kyle, both your girls were in this match. So I know you was excited. What'd you think?
I really like this match. This is why I'm so confused that people were weirded out by the ending. Because like you could see this. If you're listening to the show and you're confused, then that's your fault. Because I've been saying it for weeks on the show how this is going to play out. It played out exactly how we've been talking the last couple of weeks. Again, clearly they watch the show. They're booking around our show because everything that we decide comes out on TV. I say this every week. And here's another example. I've said it. If you go back the last three podcasts, I've always said, I'm like, I guarantee you at the pay-per-view, Ruby's going to turn and it's going to be somewhere after the match. I've said it for three straight weeks. What happens? Exactly to a T what we've been talking about. So this was fantastic. They did a fantastic job of the match itself. Perfect way to turn Ruby too. Like, have her side with the break. You can kind of see, even that I seen it coming, it was still cool to see that she pulls that back heel kick. And then, like, Britt's like, oh, shit. And, like, goes after Britt. And they do the L on both of them. Oh, perfect. You're setting up the blood and guts thing perfectly.
What is the faction called?
They're just the outsiders.
The Runaways.
They don't have a name.
That's Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
Have a name though. It's just they're just.
So it's the destination's unknown. The name's unknown. Yeah. The unknown. That's there. You go. They're the unknown. Unknown. Yeah. The undisputed unknown.
But we know the end goal. Call them the Paragon. The thing I have a shame with is it was the, I don't know if it was just me. The crowd was really dead for this, but I'm like, this is early enough in the pay-per-view where they shouldn't be dead because the match after, obviously, it was the Texas Death Match. They were pretty live for it, and then all the other matches after, they're pretty awake. So, like, you know, shame on you, Callie, for, you know.
Dude, Hater put on
being,
a show.
Being quiet for this, and this match was great. Like, the wrestling in this match was great, and the crowd's just like, Like, no. California should never get a women's match ever again. Never again.
Oh, my God. I do think as wrestling fans, and I saw like Ascended mention it earlier that in the chat that Saraya's gotten better and better every match. And it's like, remember, she's not working house shows. She's not working Darker Elevation. She's only wrestling on television.
She looked
better. It's going to take her a lot longer. She did look better. But also, like, she's taking some fucking crazy bumps out there. Okay. Oh, yeah. Like,
the hair bump. Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, we need to fucking appreciate this. I'm, you know, huge Saraya fans on the show. And it's like, we thought we'd never get to see her wrestle again. So it's like, I'm enjoying the hell out of this. I don't care what happens. I thought the match was a ton of fun.
So I'll pose the question here because we know this is leading to Blood and Guts. Mm-hmm. We know this is what their direction is. So now we have a team of three and a team of two. Reba or Rebo or Rebel, whatever she wanted to be called.
Rebel.
Pretty sure she's gone or just not going to be on TV anymore.
Well, she's back to just being the makeup.
Yeah. So.
Sheeta.
So are we going towards what do we think the maximum end goal is? Like max, is there going to be four versus four?
Five.
You think it's going to be five? So who are the two outside? I will call them outsiders.
Mercedes will be one.
I'm thinking it'll be Mercedes.
I think Mercedes and Athena.
Mercedes. Mercedes and Naomi.
Maybe.
Nah, Naomi's going back.
Well, then who would be the fourth outsider?
Damn, I feel the glow.
Athena.
Athena?
You don't think Athena is exclusively to Ring of ROH Honor?
No. Samoa Joe was just on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but that's because he's still the TNT champion. You know what would be really cool
if Britt got, like, Jade to join them?
It's going to be Jade and, like, Statlander or Sheeta or Riho. There's a bunch of the originals they could choose. Yeah. Nyla Rose. But I think it's Athena as a lock.
Britt mentioning Mercedes earlier this week in that interview, I think, was a seed planted.
I think Britt's doing her damnedest, like Ant said, to get Mercedes in here, and she's going to mention her every chance she gets.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, it's not even going to be like she's going to be here at the company forever. I think she's just going to come in and do the – why not? If you're just going to come to AEW for a short bit, come and do the Blood and Guts match and then leave.
Dude.
You know what I mean?
She'll have a singles match with Baker. Yeah. She'll have a couple singles matches. She'll have a little
like she's
going
to have
to
sign here, but that's what she's doing. She's doing her quote-unquote like world Jay tour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should probably be a
what
do
you think
too.
Of the triple threat match and as it's a match?
I absolutely loved it. I think I give Ruby Soho a lot of Thunder Rosa could be one of the originals too. I give Ruby Soho a lot of shit, like a lot of shit, because I think she's been super inconsistent since coming. Last night, it seemed to all go together for her for once. She was clean. She was sharp. She wasn't botching anything. She looked really good last night.
She had a good look too. Like she,
and the green in the hair, the green in the hair should have gave it away, right? Yeah. But we didn't think about that. But I think she was awesome last night. I think Jamie Hayter is a star, and Jackie said it best: you don't take the title off of her. As much as I want to see Saraya win that title, you got to wait because I feel like Soraya's heel is building up. When it gets to its peak, you have her beat Jamie Hayter for it, and she becomes the most hated person in that company. Then maybe you bring in like a Mercedes or something to go, ha, now look. Like, but I don't think that's the end game. I think the end game is going to be Jade Cargill. Honestly, I think Chris Statlander is going to beat Jade, and I think Jade's going to be the women's champion by All Out, if I'm being honest.
I mean, I don't.
I think that's the end game. I mean,
gotta be right. This her being undefeated for so long has to go she's somewhere.
She's on everything. Yeah. She's at basketball games. She's on TV. She's
She's everywhere except this paper.
Except everywhere but on TV wrestling.
Which is a huge L. Like, you had the hour long buy-in, and even though I will say this, the buy-in was the best it's ever been. Renee and RJ City need to host every buy-in from here on out.
Oh, I was saying that before the show. Yeah.
They need to host Dynamite, everything, pre-shows.
Literally. So we know they're watching. Literally. Guys, you guys want to get some YouTube traction, AEW, because you know you're watching. Here's the way to do it. Put RJ City an hour before Dynamite, half hour, whatever you want to do. Put a half hour of RJ City just interviewing people backstage at Dynamite exactly the way that you're doing at the pay-per-view, because that was pure gold. Was and I watched a pre-show from start to finish without skipping through it.
Yep. Same here. And you could have added a second women's match, but that baby steps, okay?
Yeah.
Baby steps.
I mean, I think Jade's in the Jungle Boy waiting period. I think it is going to be, to me now, it just screams that it's Statlander that's going to take the belt off her. So now they're just, she's in the wait period where she has a match here and there. It was the same with Jungle Boy. Like, he was in and out.
Yeah, just to try to get
until them. Christian got better. Mm-hmm. This is the same thing with Statlander. AEW's kind of shown that that's kind of like their thing with a few feuds. So that's my assumption.
Well, the next thing that I want to talk about, because it seems like our chat is just waiting for us to talk about it. So we have the Texas Death Match, Hangman Adam Page versus Jon Moxley. Before we get to the match, dear AEW and Tony Khan, stop changing people's theme songs. Hangman's theme song was fine.
Hold up. That was just for the pay-per-view.
Oh, thank God, bro.
Stop
it. Because even Wardlow, during his match, they went back to his old theme song.
That was Ghost Ride by the Outlaws that he came out to. So,
like, all right, I was scared here. I love Hangman's theme song. It's so iconic to him. Yeah. Like, you know, if he doesn't have his original theme song, how does he not pose for the pyro to piss Ann off?
He posed for the pyro. He posed.
No, I'm saying, but in general, he does it, and it gets Ann so mad.
And he does it with a new song.
So happy.
The new song, I'll post for the pyro.
Things. It's the details.
But so a lot of people want us to talk about it in the chat. So I wanted to go to you, Kyle, first. A lot of blood in this match.
Oh, yeah.
People have different points of views of what they want or not. Friedman in the chat, write what you've been wanting to say this whole time. I'm interested to hear what you have to say. Unless it's wrong, and then I'm not, but I want to hear it first. So, Kyle, what did you think of this match?
Well, Jesus Christ, was this ever a hardcore match? I'm like, okay, so we've seen Moxley in a few types of different hardcore matches over the the last year or two. Like, what are they going to do in this match? It's kind of like a little bit different, but a little bit of the same as well. They did it. I thought they did a pretty good job with everything. Like, the little things, too. Like, hilarious, though, right at the beginning when Moxley A, had a hard time finding out where stuff was around the ring, and B, maybe lost too much blood at one point where the one part where he went like literally under the ring looking for something, the chain. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was supposed to happen. I think he lost so much blood at that point he couldn't see, because like before he went in the ring, his face was deep red. But I loved when he was looking for the barbed wire chair, and it ended up being next to the ring step the whole time. And he's like, oh, it's right over here. That's like, what ring crew messed with Moxley and put it over there?
All over the place.
But it was great. These two really did have a death match. And like I said, the little things were really cool in this match, like the fork spot. The big thing that popped for me is, you know, obviously Moxley and Seth are still friends. And they still like doing a little bit of homage to each other here and there. And we got the curb stomp on the bricks.
Oh my God.
Don't be shocked if we don't see a Death Rider at WrestleMania to Logan Paul. Guarantee that's going to happen.
Hmm.
But
Logan Paul's better than Seth Rollins.
Yeah. It was a great match. It was this was the first time that Jon Moxley has tapped out in AEW.
That is true.
He's only lost clean twice. That's a massive. Once to redact it and one to Hangman.
But like he's I think he's passed out before, but he's never actually tapped out. So this was a massive put over to Hangman Page.
It's the callback.
Yeah.
Hangman gets Kimmy's in my DMs saying Logan Paul's not better than Seth Rollins. I knew you were watching. Hangman got his name Hangman from doing that.
Yeah.
In like Ring of Honor, hanging people over the ropes, right?
But did you feel it was a little telegraphed? Because I know Moxie does the honor to Bruiser Brody by putting the chain around his neck, but then he wraps one part around his neck, and I'm like, all right, so you're getting hung.
I guess they have to.
Can you give Moxie a little bit of a break? Do you know how much blood he lost at that point?
Dude, can we get Moxie a vacation?
Am I allowed to nitpick this great piece?
I didn't
watch the tag match, so I can't be
angry.
Not
if he's lost a whole like Shamu tank worth of blood.
Well, first off, we were trying to time how fast they would bleed last night.
We had an over-under on.
We had an over-under, so we bleed time. Moxley beat us, and then we're like, okay, do Hangman starting. And as soon as we took the phone out to start clocking it, he was bleeding already. We're like, fuck it.
No, let's be honest, though. Who would have thought that the fastest person to bleed all night would be Dax Harwood?
Oh, right? My God. Poor guy. I love his tweet. 2 minutes back, it's already started.
Dude, that match was, it makes me queasy. I'm not a deathmatch guy. Even though Jon Moxley's like my favorite wrestler, besides Redacted, I'm not a deathmatch guy. So it was a great match, and the fork thing was a little bit much for me, but everything else was cool. Like the fork thing was like, okay, stop with the fork. Can we use something different?
Oh man, it's a deathmatch.
I said that if he was going to go to the ring and pull out the whole China cabinet. It's like, oh, no, not the fucking plate.
Oh, not the spoon.
No, he's going to
scooping his brains out.
You know, like
plastic spork.
It was good. And Hangman, man, he's such a star. Hangman's such a star. I can't wait till Hangman challenges for the title, because I think that's coming up next. And then Adam Cole is going to win it at All Out, because Hangman has that. Hangman's one of those people. We noticed last night that Wardlow, right, has kind of was the most over and has kind of lost it, right?
Yeah.
Hangman has never lost it, ever.
No.
It's been the same pop since he's gotten hot, and it's not going anywhere. And I feel like
here's why. And I've been talking to Kerry all day about it. And of course, if Kerry says it, you know it's true. Since day one in this company, there has been two opposing forces being built at the same time. One in the image of the Elite and one in the image of Cody. And we have Hangman and MJF. They are destined to do this. They were in the first match on Double or Nothing. And they did the whole Battle Royal thing. Even MJF mentions Hangman in the press conference. They never allow Hangman to get too many losses. They never let MJF lose unless it's like a huge deal.
Well, now it's a huge deal. Like there, he's not losing that title unless it's going to be for sure the next champ for a bit.
So like, I think a Hangman MJF feud right now would be incredible. But yeah, dude, this match was just unfucking real. And I love the violence. I love the blood. The storyline called for it. As long as the storyline
Time out. I've done this shit with you for like 6 years, and I hate death matches.
I do hate death matches.
ECW, Bubba, ECW.
Yeah, because what does ECW do? Fucking, it'll be the first opening match, and they're stabbing each other. They don't even know each other.
I just said his name, and he's fucking bleeding already. Okay, yeah, exactly. Let's not get into that.
I want to call out some spots out of memory because I did rewatch it today. So we have the spot where Hangman wraps the barbed wire around his body and does the moonsault and gashes his. I was like, okay,
It was funny. We were sitting there talking. I looked at Nate. And I'm like, yeah, that shit's fake. That's like fake barbed wire. And then he gets up and he's all cut. I was like, oh, I guess I was wrong.
No, it is not giving.
The spot that you guys mentioned earlier with the curbs, Kyle mentioned earlier with the curbs on the brick was like, okay, let's get fucking wild here.
I have PTSD from bricks from Home Alone. I don't know if anyone else hates that scene. And it's funny because I'm talking about it, and I'm talking about the Jackie, and then Sean Ross Sapp literally tweeted him about to throw the brick. And I'm like, that is like PTSD for me. Like, I see bricks and I'm like, oh no, he's going to hit it in the face. Yo, that movie fucked
that
me
part
up.
In the movie. Like, Howie!
Howie! Love that movie.
But Daki, so Ascendant brings up a good question in the chat. Did Mommy Jackie kick in during this match?
Oh my God. Absolutely. I was freaking out. There were so many parts where I'm like, oh my God, you don't have to do this. Like it, with said moonsault, I'm like, can I just not watch somebody die in this match? There's a lot of fear that goes into this shit. Because there's always the essence of like, oh, somebody could like actually really get hurt when they brought the bricks out. And I was like, do you have to curb stomp him on freaking bricks? Like, it's just going next level. But it had to go there. Because you have Jon Moxley, who essentially every match he's in is kind of like a hardcore match. So yeah. If you have Moxley going into Texas Death, it has to be that next level. And because this feud has been building up for such a time and there was so much animosity going into it and both men had something to prove, there was no way that you weren't going to have both of these guys taking it to the absolute limit. So I thought that, like I said, this match was tied with the sixth man for my match of the night, even though I was having a freaking heart attack for most of it. But they absolutely killed it and they damn near killed each other in the process.
And a match that almost killed me because I'm tired of fucking seeing it. Chris Jericho versus Ricky Starks. And the worst part about this for me
is that Ricky Starks won. I agree, Phil.
No. I'm happy he won. Even though I predicted Jericho to win, I'm happy Ricky won.
But the worst part is Ricky Starks won.
No,
he had to.
Leading into it, it was being reported by Fightful that Jungle Boy and Christian were starting the show. So I was like, all right, here we go. We're going to get a crazy gimmick match to start the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then Chris Jericho walks out. I'm like, it's going to be a long night. But it ended up being a good night. But I'm happy Ricky Starks won. We got to do the Ricky Starks pose real quick.
Maybe Christian.
Hey, why are you hating on Ricky
Starks? I hate it. I fucking hate it. I hate it more than Judas.
But why? Why?
I don't like him. I don't know.
The feud keeps going and we need it to stop.
Chris Jericho is always going to feud with everyone forever.
All right, but there has to be a stopping point at some point.
When he Randy the Rams off the top rope. That's when. Because it's not stopping.
No, he means end of the feud, not end of Jericho.
Yeah,
exactly. Till death do us part, sweetheart. Jericho is putting on the best matches of his career, like during this run. Like, I know that JS is fucking bullshit besides Ty and Sammy. I don't like any. And I like, we love Magic.
Daddy Magic.
But I don't like the group together. But Jericho in the ring has been delivering. And Jackie and I were talking about it. He's putting younger guys over. Action Andretti, which is a stupid fucking name. And Ricky Starks now. He's putting people over. He doesn't have to do that. He's Chris Jericho. He doesn't have to. He could say, I want to win this. I want this title. So you've got to give him props that he's giving these guys big wins. He's like their stepping stone. Maybe Ricky Starks now goes up to the TNT title or something. But I thought the match was great. And I think Jericho is doing his best work we've seen in years since he lost all that alcohol weight.
Yeah.
The vodka, which he stopped drinking.
But Jackie, what'd you think of this match?
I thought it was good. I mean, it wasn't the opener that I expected. And now that you say that, it's interesting because I have been off Twitter for a while also. I thought that the final burial match should have been first over this one. But overall, I think that Starks needed to go over because I'm hoping that this is the end of the feud. Babyface goes over. That's usually the little bow on the package. Wrap it up. Let's move on, because I think Starks does his best work when he's against like younger opponents, like fresher faces and stuff like that. So I'm just hoping that please let this be it. I don't want this feud to keep going forever and ever. But overall, like Ann said, Jericho is a goat, and he looks freaking fantastic out there despite his age.
Take away his wife going to the January 6th thing. He's Canadian. He's innocent in all this. So... You know, give the guy a break.
I just listen.
This is why.
Nothing wrong with Jericho. He is having great matches, but this they go on too long, and we stop caring.
The feud's going way too long. I still thought he was shooting with Eddie Kingston.
Well, sorry to break it to you guys, but we know we're getting this match one more time in 2 weeks because AEW Dynamite is in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada in 2 weeks. And we know Jericho is going to go. He's going to go over.
Let Jericho fight somebody else.
I'm about to put on the shirt. Yeah. Jericho.
Hey, where's Kenny from?
Same place.
From Winnipeg.
They need to do Kenny versus Jericho.
That won't happen.
I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot.
Do it one more time. You know what I mean? In the main event.
Have Jericho versus Ascended because he's also from Winnipeg.
It would be great, but. I didn't know this knowledge of what was the opener of the show because I watched it today. So I had no idea. So getting a perspective from someone who didn't see that, it was an interesting opener. I thought they were going to open up with I thought the Elite and House of Black were going to open up the show. I thought that was going to be like a banger just to open up the pay-per-view. And in hindsight, maybe it could have opened up the show, right? And had House of Black go over in the first match of the show to start things off hot. Why not, right? It was an interesting match. Got to give flowers to Jericho, especially at his age, still doing these matches and putting people over. the crowd was very into it, too. You know, they're split at times. I like Ricky Starks. Obviously, Ant says he's not for everybody. I think he's got all the charisma and ring presence to be like another you know, big star. Not at the moment, but eventually working on it, right? The Sammy Andre thing was really weird, and it threw me right off because I'm like, okay, what was the point of the stipulation? The stipulation. He still made it to like he was like literally like inches from ringside. That's technically still ringside.
I'm gonna call him Andretti. Andretti and him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, that spot literally didn't need to happen. They could have just done something backstage or something, right? Like why?
But that's my problem with the JAS in general. It's like everyone is so like stuck on just being behind Jericho, where Jericho's getting all the moments, all the matches, all the spots. Yeah. That like the only way you could get these guys and girls on the card is if you have them like incredibly go against the rule that was fucking set up.
Yeah, Phil, that's why it's called the Jericho Appreciation Society.
I mean, good point, Kyle. You're making a good point, but don't let the facts ruin a good story.
I know you don't like the facts, but the facts state they're always going to be second to Jericho because they always appreciate him. That's the point.
I'm just saying that, like,
it's a shame, but that's the fact.
Why have Sammy come out? Like, it's great to see Sammy on the pay-per-view, but why have him come out just for Andretti to tackle him? They could have did something in the backer.
That will be a good feud, though, between those two. They're going to put off some really good matches. So,
they are. They had a great match on Rampage.
Yeah. So hopefully
Rampage. Who watched that?
Us.
But
we did.
I apologize.
But man, great match though.
Your Friday nights must suck.
Yeah, I'm watching Rampage.
Oh damn. You're one of the like 100,000 people. It's like get Impact numbers at this point.
God, I hope they move that to a better time slot when the TV deal comes
I wish
around.
They would just take our advice, what we said for like a year now, like just put better matches on there. Like,
they have which is the sad
even part. They have been. It's just 10 p.m. is just, it sucks on a Friday night. It's absolutely awful. It needs to be a 7 p.m. Put it 7 p.m. Eastern
no,
time.
It's because you're going up against SmackDown on Friday night.
Not a 7 p.m. You're an hour before.
People don't want to They don't want
to
watch it.
Listen, they can put it from 8 to 9 and be fine because there's no wrestling on SmackDown anyway. They're okay. Damn. There's three matches on a fucking 2-hour
show.
But they
still get 2 million people watching every week.
Phil's right, though. Fed's going to Fed, so.
Fed's going to Fed.
But they still get 2 million people watching every week.
Going against Smack, going by yourself.
Those numbers.
You ain't hitting ratings anyway.
Those numbers are horrible. Horrible. What? It's you're never going to take away the WWE casual because they're so brainwashed that there should only be WWE and nothing else. They'll never watch AEW.
That's what I'm saying. So just put it on when it's convenient. It's recorded anyway. Who cares?
Just put it. Yeah. 7 should be perfect time. Just saying. 7 p.m. Eastern time is perfect. I guarantee the numbers will go up if they ever did that.
Tony, since we know you're watching.
But now there's Tony, like,
Tony, just cancel Rampage.
But there was talk. I don't know where this is going to go and what they're going to do. And everyone's arguing at what it's going to be. But there's been talks of the network saying that they want more AEW wrestling content. And apparently there's a rumor of Saturday at 6 p.m. in the news right now. So I don't know what that's going to be.
Oh, my God.
So just take it with a grain of salt, though. We'll see.
Enough, please.
Some people are saying that could be the all-woman shows, but I'm like, I don't think they're going to do an all-woman show. They don't have enough.
Dude, I can't wait to see.
All-woman show, the network won't even let them put a second woman segment on.
I cannot wait. Dude, 204 Live on Saturday nights is going to be lit.
204 Live. If you're 205, you can't be here.
Yeah, 204.
Specifically. Oh,
the Jesus.
105 live. Just have like really skinny ass people in the ring.
Be Jungle Boy versus Ricky Starks every week.
Every week. Yeah. Bring back Marco Stunt, make him the champion. Because AEW loves making new titles.
I mean, that could be the TV spot also for Ring of Honor. Because I know it's not, it was said in the news that when it came to Honor Club, that all the news outlets, this was Sean Rastap, everybody was saying, don't expect that to last very long. They're working hard on getting it on TV.
Of course, I enjoyed that.
That could be the Ring of Honor spot. That could be Saturday at 6.
No, not last on Honor Club.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Why would it last on Honor Club? Because I love that. Because if you don't have to worry about fucking TV ratings, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And you can have fun like NXT used to be.
Yeah.
That's true.
Jesus Christ. But a match I did have fun watching. Samoa Joe versus Wardlow. And I'm very interested to get your guys' takes on it because some people did not like that Wardlow one. Some people like myself and Carrie very happy that Wardlow won. But it is a little confusing considering that we assume Will Hobbs was going to win the belt on Wednesday.
Oh, man, winning that shit. Let's go.
So why put it on Wardlow if he's just going to lose?
Powerhouse.
Well, it's because Joe's also the Ring of Honor TV champion. I'd rather... At this point, it's okay if Wardlow can take an L, but if you're going to make the champion lose twice in a row,
I guess.
You know what I mean? Or not lose twice in a row, sorry.
You can't have Wardlow have all this momentum, and then he gets the belt back, and then he loses.
He has not
anymore. But don't put it on him. Have Hobbs beat Samoa Joe.
No, because he has the Ring of Honor TV belt, and they're trying to get that going. You can't have the Ring of Honor TV champ lose and then go and defend... Yeah, but in Ring of Honor as
but
a loser.
That's what he's going to go do anyway. What?
Yeah, but...
he just lost Sunday. He just lost last night.
I don't know.
He has to go defend as a loser.
Yeah, but he lost in a feud that they've been building for a while. Instead of Wardlow cut his hair.
The feud's over. Wardlow cut his man bun. He lost all his magical powers. Tried copy and fill, and now he's...
I like the loss better to... Wardlow.
So you think Wardlow should lose to Hobbs right away?
Probably
won't.
I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not under the firm belief that Hobbs is winning on. It's way too early.
Is Miro coming back? Like, because who's?
I don't know. I think Wardlow's just going to win.
No, when Scorpio Sky won it, he didn't win it right away, did he?
Yeah.
Did he win it the first match he had?
I don't think anyone's ever won it the first match.
I don't know, but then I don't know if it came off the back of somebody just having won the title either. So that's what's weird to me. It's like,
then
you know,
Sammy beat Cody, and then he beat Sammy like real quick because Cody was.
It'd be really odd if Wardlow loses clean on Wednesday.
It'd be odd if Wardlow loses.
If he loses dirty, like someone fucks him over, then I don't know. Sure.
Oh, match was fun. Mojo's
Kimmy
awesome.
In the chat saying the Revolution ladder match has never had a successful person win it off the bat. So there you go. Maybe this starts the longer story of Wardlow and Hobbs because they realized that Wardlow didn't get as big of a reaction as they would have assumed he would have gotten given this great story with Joe and the fun match they had. But I do want to talk about the match. We could talk about Hobbs.
That was tough, though. They followed up the hardcore match, right? The Texas Death match. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The crowd was – I mean, I would have been exhausted after that match.
Yeah. I mean, this is the gift and the curse of AEW pay-per-views because there's no match, I mean, besides that tag match, where you're like, I don't care. Like, you care about Joe. You care about Wardlow. You want to see these guys go at it. But, like, at some point in these pay-per-views, you're going to get tired. You're going to need your bathroom break, your snack break.
Yeah.
That guy who Jungle Boy took his beer, he has to go wait on a four-hour line to spend $37 on a beer.
That's with every – unless they adapted the old takeover model, that's going to be with every pay-per-view with any company.
Yeah. That's true.
Because, like, the old takeover model was, I believe it was literally five matches max. That included the main event. and they would do like
no a, Freeman Rod. The title cannot change hands on a DQ.
They would. I remember they used to do like an NXT taping in the pre-show, and then they would have five pay-per-view matches, and it flowed easy. I never got out of my seat. Unless you adapted that style, any pay-per-view for any company, you're gonna have to get up and go get food, bathroom. You're gonna get exhausted from cheering like crazy. Yeah, hoagies. Yeah,
Thorn Mania.
Yeah.
But Kyle, what did you think of the match on its own as a match with Joe and Wardlow?
See, I like this one too. I don't know. It's just me. I'm weird. I like the story of it too. Like I was into it. They made the hair cutting make sense. You know, they made Joe look like a sadistic asshole, and the reason why he cut off the hair is because him and Wardlow were drinking at a bar one night, and Wardlow spilled his personal guts out and said that, you know, gave the personal story of his dad with the hair. And that's why Joe cut his hair off, because he's a dick and turned out.
Damn, I really need to watch the weekly show, huh?
Yeah.
I just thought maybe it was magical powers.
No. They said that Joe said it in a promo that, you know, we were at a bar drinking. You told me that personal story about your dad and his hair loss. You know, he took that and manipulated that against Wardlow. Yeah, he had cancer. So, I love this whole story leading up to this match. And Wardlow, when it was interesting, I did think that Joe was probably going to win. I'm pretty sure I pricked Wardlow on my predictions, but I could have seen the whole King of Television thing was good. But I know that they want to get things going with Ring of Honor. I think Joe is going to be with Ring of Honor. Don't think it's going to be with AEW anymore. And that's fine because they need some big stars in Ring of Honor if you're going to get people to tune in, right?
Isn't his contract up in a month?
I have no idea with Joe. Him going over to Ring of Honor is smart, and then they can start whatever feud because now they're building towards Supercard of Honor. So he's going to have to get into a television title feud.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be, and Ant's going to bury this, and I 100% agree. So Tony Deppen, on Honor Club, that's the guy who was challenging Joe. I have no idea who that is.
But that was for a Ring of Honor. But that was a Ring of Honor television show, right? That wasn't for the pay-per-view. Or is that the pay-per-view match?
No, that's not the pay-per-view match. Oh, okay. But he was the one like starting a few. He did like a backstage promo talking about how he was Ring of Honor TV champion and like he's here to get it back. And he was like talking to Lexi Nair. Okay,
so that's going to be the pay-per-view match, 100%.
Probably. And it'll be,
it's a TV match. Okay, so they did tape it already. Because I know they taped, they did one or two or possibly three TV episodes.
I think they did two.
Okay, so that'll probably be the one next week.
Okay. Yeah. And then maybe after that, we'll see where it's going.
Yeah.
Because I haven't really seen spoilers as far as the tapings go, which is fantastic.
No, the first one they did, I really liked the first taping. I watched it. I thought they did a great job. It gave me that old school NXT feel.
Me too.
Like, it gave me those old TV. Yeah. I know.
But yeah, so the Wardlow and Joe. I want to shout out the Whisper in the Wind. It is impressive every time you see Wardlow do that shit. That's a big motherfucker doing the Whisper in the Wind. But Jackie, what'd you think of this match?
I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was good. And, you know, placement of the match and whatnot, it suffered for me in the placement of like the point of the night where I was feeling a little bit of that fatigue setting in. But overall, the story was there. The two of them, you know, they are great opponents when they fight each other. I am interested to see where this is going to go because I love Hobbs, but I don't think this is going to like Wardlow needs to hold that title. He needs that redemption. I feel bad that the crowd was as at least in my perception, because sometimes live it's different, but I feel like the crowd was a lot milder than they have been for him in the past. And I hate that for him because Wardlow is such a star and he is so capable. I think he's capable of winning them back. And maybe this title is what he needed to kind of get that momentum rolling back in his direction. He just needs the right feuds.
As watching it earlier, I feel like, and you know, Ant says the little things, right? Wardlow's big thing was the Goldberg entrance where they're chanting Wardlow as he's coming out. You're building the hype. And I know it was probably because storyline wise, Wardlow just wants to get his hands on Samoa Joe, but like he came out way too fast. and it was with his old music, and you're like, wait, what is happening?
The wolf howl caught me off guard.
Yeah, which was like, that's very WWE. I don't like that shit. Like, it's like Ricochet being like, pew, pew, or a fucking Drew McIntyre's sword. Like, stop. Like, you had his entrance. It worked. The crowd would chant Wardlow. People would get super excited seeing him walk to the ring. I hope starting Wednesday they get back to that. AEW is really good at bouncing back if they feel like people aren't
And watching. Cut that shit out.
Yeah.
Cut it out.
Yeah, please. Go back to the old Wardlow stuff. Now, this next match I want to talk about. All right, go ahead, Kyle.
Sorry. So I want to clarify two things. One, they taped four episodes. There was two per day. It was two on Saturday and two on the Sunday. So they've taped four so far.
So they've taped up to Supercard then.
Pretty much. Also, the TV show on Saturday, it's being rumored it's supposed to be a two-hour show to showcase the smaller up-and-coming talent, almost like a version of NXT for AEW. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's basically their level.
So I'm assuming that you get rid of Dark and Elevation and just put that live on Saturdays.
Yeah, please, for the love of God.
I guess they might have to, because it's essentially kind of a similar concept, isn't it?
It is annoying, though, because that completely goes against the original business model of AEW of like, you can have a normal life, just be available on Wednesdays and sometimes Saturdays. Now they're like, and Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and now Saturdays.
Well,
like,
if you're in that smaller talent group, you probably would only need to be there for Saturdays until you get pushed to the other show.
I guess.
Listen, just because Tony Khan can watch wrestling 24 hours a day doesn't mean we can.
Yeah.
We need a break. Okay.
That's why you've been gone. You've been just watching it 24 hours a day. You have no time for the shows. You've just been watching wrestling.
No, dude. I actually left the
watching
TV.
You've been watching that cage match.
More grabs.
No, you've been watching
more grabs. Dude, Rick Rude versus fucking Ultimate Warrior 1990 SummerSlam. Yeah.
Or you've been watching Power Slap, right? You love that show.
Oh, dude, that shit. That's the only thing Rampage gets better ratings on.
My lord.
But speaking of train wrecks, we get this Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match. And I didn't watch a fucking second of it past the intros. Was this match even fun? Besides the FTR stuff afterwards, which Jackie will give you your floor.
For us, it was fun because we had an inside joke going the whole time. Besides that, I don't really remember the match. So I was just waiting for FTR to hit. Yeah.
Jackie, what did you think of this match before FTR came out?
Oh my god, I feel so horrible for saying this, but this is like, you know that meme where it's like, don't ask me the color of anything, because
yes,
I literally
do we know it
do not remember a single thing about this.
Wow,
I remember the famous
one. Unbelievable. As a Jeff Jarrett fan here, I am extremely offended.
As a tag team wrestling enthusiast, I'm appalled that this match even made it to the card. I'm embarrassed that they had Jay Lethal and Jeff Barrett and Danhausen and Orange Cassidy in this match with all the
legendary Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett is how you address him.
Listen, you don't like JEFFJARRETT, it's double J.
Exactly. Thank you for the respect, Ant. Appreciate that.
Oh, I'm so glad. I got up with Phil to go get M&Ms in the concourse.
The snitching.
That did not happen.
Everybody saw
There's no proof. No proof.
Actually, they did, and they FaceTimed me with Issa when that match was going on.
Nope, no proof. I don't believe
you. Oh, we have proof.
Nope.
It lives on
it's in
our
It's definitely not in the vlog.
It's definitely not in the vlog.
Yes, it is.
With us walking through the hallways of Rob.
Yeah.
but Jackie, the floor is yours. FTR comes back.
Yeah, the biggest part of the match.
Everybody gets what they want, especially us. How'd you feel to scream silently in your head?
I felt euphoric, honestly. As soon as, like, it's down to the last second where I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, please do not pull the rug out from underneath me, because I had all this anticipation built up where I'm like, I'm 99.999% sure that this is where it's going. And we're going to hear that music hit and FTR is going to walk out there and just freaking beat the shit out of the Ass Boys and all will be right with my world. And because they took a little bit longer to come out when the music hit, I was like, oh my God, if they are pulling the same shit they did at the FTR funeral, that one segment, and they're playing the music and they're not going to come out, I will break everything in Ant's basement right now. But no, they... Wow.
That's a fucking threat.
Well, thankfully that did not happen.
Because like, you touch anything, you're getting Marty Jannetty through a window. Okay. Like,
simple. At that point, Ant, if it would have happened that way, I would have allowed you to I would have willingly volunteered you to Marty Jannetty through me through a window. Because if I
volunteer's tribute, that match,
and freaking no FTR, yes, please super kick me through a window.
But Jackie, the big news though, with them out of today.
The big news as far as the contract signing. Yeah, exactly.
Rumor of a long-term
FTR contract with AEW.
Listen, I want nothing more than for, like, I'm a huge FTR mark, yes. And I will say really? That no matter where they go, I will follow. However, I have high preference that they stay here in AEW because that is where they have done some of their best work. And I think they will continue to do their best work. So
they know
sign
though.
Away.
They know let's that freak, we, they know that this is where tag team wrestling is, listen, though, right? Like, there's nowhere else. Guys,
I'm upset. You know what? I don't like it because I was ready to start me and Jackie's For the Fed podcast. Okay, the revival. We in here. We was going back. Okay, they were gonna say wrestle fucking Matt Riddle and a random partner for 6 months.
Level up.
It was gonna be just like it always.
Oh my God, no! But they and look, they held up the tag team titles. A little bit of foreshadowing for the future. Oh, it's happening. They looked freaking great with them. I'm freaking ready. I was so
eight
happy.
Stars.
Yes. And I had to stifle all of my freaking screaming because of sleeping children. I am so proud of myself.
Tired boy is the worst.
But yeah, FTR is back.
Bing. And shout out to Jackie for anybody who listens to Dax Harwood's podcast. Was it Dax with FTR or something like that?
FTR with Dax. Yeah.
Family
FTR with
Dax. Wrestling.
Right. Jackie gets a great shout out from both Dax and the host of the show. So that was really cool.
Wait, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, the most recent.
They say, big shout out to FTR girl 5462922. She's been with us forever.
I just see Jackie driving and hitting the Ricky Starks.
I love that, like, he has a pose. Like, he does that a lot, but like, he has a pose.
And it's synchronized to his theme song, and you hate it.
You hate it. Like, it's this.
First off, when I get something stuck in my head, remember when I was bailing everybody, Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's running up to people. but Kyle, what did you think about FTR coming back? Are you excited?
I am so excited. Again, like I said earlier, I've been screaming about this for weeks. And you know what? For some reason, I've been thinking, while Jackie was talking, I'm thinking about like the head, like going ahead with this. Why do I see a trios match between FTR and Redacted versus Hangman Page and the Bucks later down the line when Bucks and Hangman,
I can see that.
The Bucks and Hangman eventually come back.
Oh yeah, because you replace Omega.
And you
to
do that
Larry
at All Out. You do it where it all started back at All
you
Out.
Brawl out match and it starts in a locker room.
Clip this. No,
add happen. Ace Steel and add Hangman and make it a four. 8-man tag.
Add Kenny.
AEW loves doing fucking tag matches with too many people in it. Tony Khan's favorite thing to do. I got an idea.
But yeah, we know that FTR winning the belts is coming. And Double or Nothing kind of looks like the spot. So winning the belts in good old Vegas. Looks like that's where we're headed.
Listen, you know what FTR basically did? You know the gif of Grandpa Simpson coming into the bar, taking his hat off, putting his hat back? They walked into WWE, said, Vince is back. Oh, never mind.
Nope.
They're like, nope, never mind.
Almas. Lesnar.
FTR, listen, we were going to give you the Usos, but actually you're going to go against Elias and Ezekiel. Vince,
we're
going to
CGI.
It's going to make good TV.
No, we're putting that CGI, brother.
In the Mountain Dew glow in the dark match.
Make that look like the glow in the dark mini putt I was just at. Yeah. Done. Get your cameras going.
Just how did it not look, go back?
All right,
do
back.
Not look at my pants under the black light. I signed an NDA.
All right, back on the track. Let's go.
All right, so the last match of the night is the match that everyone's
going to have fun. And I bring out horny Vince and it's a problem?
No, I was trying to get us back.
So we get to the main event of the night, the one match that most fans were looking forward to, the one match that I think had the craziest amount of pressure on, because you know, when you're in a ring with someone like Bryan Danielson, is viewed as if not the greatest, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, and definitely the greatest wrestler working right now, in my opinion. Him and Kenny share that honor, but there's so much pressure going into this. What way are they going to go? Is Max going to lose it? Is Max going to win? Is there going to be shenanigans? You know, who thought a little kid would get a cup of water poured on him? But at least Amanda Huber was there to save the day. Thank God for that. But as far as the Iron Man match, I loved it. If anybody has ever listened to me in past podcasts, ran with Ann, all this stuff, I always say how my favorite match of all time is Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart, WrestleMania 12, the Iron Man match. This match did something cool to honor it. We get to see them go into overtime, which I thought was really cool. Sudden death.
75 minutes, I think. No, not 75.
Yeah, it was exceptional.
It was 65.
65.
MJF bled. Danielson bled. They did a lot of really cool spots. My favorite spot, though, before I forget, that chain wrestling spot they do in the beginning of the match where it's like arm drag, flip, headlock over and over, and then it ends with them both kipping up was like, you know, and MJF makes reference to it in the press conference where he's like, and almost where him being like this arrogant guy actually is telling the truth in the sense of like,
redacted.
It's time to stop this forgetting that MJF is a great wrestler bullshit. Because like every time he's out there, he has incredible matches, and there's no tougher match that he's had to live up to expectations than this one, and he fucking knocked it out of the park. If there was ever going to be a match that I think is going to, you know, be in competition as far as match of the year with Ospreay and Omega, you know, from Wrestle Kingdom, is this match with MJF and Danielson. I thought it was just an unreal, unbelievable match. But Kyle, I want to go to you first. What'd you think of it?
Oh, they delivered. I mentioned it earlier. Like they delivered to us a fantastic storytelling Iron Man match. It was so good. I was wondering how and what they were going to do throughout this match to, you know, I'd say like the first 30 minutes is the bide the time spots. Like what are you going to do in between there to kind of get the time going and kind of do some cool things in between? They did a lot of cool things with stuff from, I'm just going to like pick and choose, like, you know, like Daniel or Bryan Danielson showing his agility, like doing the jumping jacks taunt to him, and then MJF doing it back. MJF, we said the crowd thing was really cool. That was hilarious though. Like literally I'm like, what's he doing? He just grabs someone's water and then sees the kid. Okay.
So Carrie texted me that apparently it was alcohol in the woman's cup.
They said it was tequila.
So no wonder the kid got the full treatment. The kid got to see like his favorite wrestler, which was Will Hobbs, which is pretty cool. They gave him a signed turnbuckle by a bunch of superstars, a belt. They literally set the kid up with everything, which is really nice.
Yeah, but listen, at the same token, it's like, we get your character's a dick, but it's still a kid. I don't know. Kids are off limits to me. Like, you do that to me, I'm fucking coming at you, bro. I don't give a fuck if you beat my ass or not. I'm swinging.
I'm not shocked, though. Like, you see what MJF's like at signings.
Yeah,
kids.
But that's...
Like,
but
I know at that point, it's the parents' fault for bringing the kids
to
him.
You signed up to meet MJF, so you know what you're going to get.
Yeah, that kid didn't even know what was going on.
Like, listen, I get it.
Standing. He was just, like, sitting in his seat.
Yeah, it's just... Whatever.
Maybe it's because you're a dad.
No, I just don't think it's called for. He should have did it to an adult.
He should have done it to her. He should have done it to her. Can you imagine the heat that he would have gotten for that? Or maybe he did think of it and like as a really quick audible and didn't really have time to think. He did the kid by accident. You know what I mean?
That's my only problem with MJF. I think he's great in the ring, on the mic. I think it's the low hanging fruit that gets him in trouble all the time. It's the stupid stuff. It's like if people are going to boo you. You don't have to throw vodka at a kid. You know, he's like...
But this was great. He looks in great shape. The guy has gotten in tremendous shape in the last couple of months, man. He looks fantastic. And, you know, what he said in the interview, he proved that he could keep up with a guy who is considered one of the greatest wrestlers out there today in Bryan Danielson, and did it for a full 65 minutes. And what they did with the overtime, and then what they did in overtime, man, I thought for sure Danielson was going to win in overtime. I was like, oh my God, like they're actually going to pull the trigger. And I'm racing through like, what's MJF going to do things in my head at the same time. Going, damn, like what are they actually going to do with MJF from now on? And I'm like, is Redacted coming out after and doing something with him? I had a million thoughts, but they did such, this is great. This goes up there. Like I said it on the last couple of shows too. I'm like, is this match going to live up to one of those top Iron Man matches that you go back and watch, like the great Iron Man matches of old? Is this going to go into those categories? I think it does. I think for sure that you can put this into one of the greatest Iron Man matches of all times. If you have like a compilation list, I think you can put this one in there. They did an excellent job leading up to it with the story. The promos were got you hyped for it, and they did such a good job in match. Even we had finally, like, Bryan Danielson hasn't done it once in AEW since he's got here off a stupid promise to Vince way back then. Now, hopefully he redacted that. But he did the one arm, but he did the yes thing. He's never done that in AEW since he's been here. Mm-hmm. And he did it in this match. And I'm like, oh, there you go. Like,
yeah, finally. But he didn't do this. But no.
He did the one arm point.
Yeah.
Like he was selling the other arm because it was all like.
Yeah. It was all beat up.
It was all beat up. And then the whole crowd lit up because they knew that was the first time that he's done it in AEW, and they all did it at the same time. And that was fantastic. Stop
catering to Vince.
Yeah. Like,
sick of that shit.
Like, bring back the guest thing. And that's what you're known. It's one of the things you're known for. Not just that you're one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Just bring back the guest thing. Just do it.
Yeah, please.
Like, the crowd, you get the crowd to do it. You were doing it like what Ant just did. You're doing this to get the crowd to do it. Just do yes, man.
Yeah.
Just do it.
At that point, just do it. Just commit.
You did it in the match now. Now you have no excuse. You did one arm. You have no excuse. You can do it now from now on. There's no excuse.
What'd you think of this match? I know it was a late show, a longer match.
I talked about everything in the beginning that I really want to say of how good the match was. I want to go into the big fight feel of things. Bryan comes out ready to go. I love the mind games from MJF with that long entrance.
Oh, that was so devils. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was super cool. And that's what with the mask on and all, I'm like, okay, this is definitely leading to the return of Redacted eventually because of the devil, you know, the smartest trick that devil ever pulled, best in the world. There are so many little hints from MJF that I think were a nice touch. But as I said earlier, the match showed that MJF belongs in that top tier of talent, and he's only going to get better. But it also shows that Bryan Danielson might be the greatest wrestler of all time.
Can you imagine if it's not Punk coming back and he's just doing it despite him? I know, like, that's his favorite wrestler of all time.
Yeah, but at this point, I don't think so. There's too much FTR being back. Dax talking about it.
Yeah.
Kenny's talking about it. All Access referencing it.
I know. I would laugh if it was just like, no, you know what?
And here's my thing. My final thing on that whole shit is, like I tweeted out, as fans, we pick sides. I went against my favorite wrestler for a couple months until I realized I don't really like the product as much without him. And that's just me being honest. But if the people who were in the fight, are able to forgive and move on, I don't want to hear fans, because if the people throwing fists at each other are cool with moving on and making money, that's where we need to go. We need to follow them, because if not, what are we going to accomplish? You're not going to get CM Punk fired. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if they're big enough to move on and make and do business, then we should just enjoy the ride. Really, it was a bad decision and a bad moment in time, but now let's create some fucking magic off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what'd you think of the match, Jackie?
So, like you, the Brett versus Shawn Iron Man match is my favorite match of all time. So this is always going to be a situation where anytime that the words Iron Man match get thrown out there, I'm like, is it going to live up? And it doesn't need to be on the same level, because everything is going to be unique in its own way. But this match really took the Iron Man match and just freaking ran with it. All of the build up, especially in the last quarter of the match, was just absolutely insane. I love it when a match takes you out of yourself and everything that you think you know is going to happen just goes right out the window. Because in that last part, especially with the overtime, they had me thinking that Danielson could actually leave with the title. And I think it was sometime after like the oxygen tank was introduced and MJF had him, had Danielson in the hold, and he has his arm up and he drops it a couple times. And then he has his arm up for the last one. And I'm like, oh my God, this is it. They're going to pull the trigger and they're going to go with Danielson as the AEW champion. This is insane. And it's like, good, suspend my disbelief, because we analyze things and we think about booking all the time. And we're always thinking like, oh no, it's not long enough. You know, they're going to let MJF have this run, blah, 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 blah. And we overanalyze to death. So when we are able to suspend our disbelief and take ourselves out of that mindset and just be fans and get lost in the story that's being told, that's where the magic happens for me. And that's exactly what this match did. And I think that it was every bit as amazing as all of the storytelling that led up to it. I don't want them to like, I don't need them to necessarily like dive right back into the feud, but this is something that I absolutely would love for them to revisit sometime in the future, because the two of them as opponents has just been really quality television, very entertaining match. And overall, as an Iron Man match, I think it's up there with some of the entertaining, one of the most entertaining I've ever seen.
I like what Freeman said in the chat too. Freeman hit the nail on the head, because I actually said this to Jackie last night. Nothing can top the Bret and Shawn, because the legit issues that they had, they legitimately did not like each other.
I don't think anyone's saying it tops it. I think it's like,
saying it's up there, but you know, for it to even get close, because you say Iron Man match, people go Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, right? Yeah, like that's now maybe people think you go MJF and Bryan Danielson. For it to even get that close to it means how special it was to even put it in a discussion.
It has to be like, you know, every generation should have one, like a standout. And I think that, you know, we can make a good argument that this match would be the standout for this generation in terms of Bryan Danielson and MJF putting on a damn clinic. And like you said, there should be no argument that Bryan Danielson is one of the best, if not the best, wrestler out there doing it today.
Hey,
I think the biggest honor you can give this match is AEW is a company of like booking a million matches on a show. Everyone gets on the card. There's to the point where we're like, oh my God, there's still six matches left. Like, and every show, Dynamites, Rampages, pay-per-views, it's all booked to crazy, right? So this match, we know it's going to be an hour. The only other Iron Man match this company has had, if I'm remembering correctly, is Kenny versus
Pac, the 30-minute which was one.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
So the fact that this match, and even me going back, because like I fell asleep when I was watching it live during the whole middle part of it. I saw the first like 15 minutes, and I woke up for the last 10 minutes and the stuff that went into overtime. But that whole middle chunk, I fell asleep in, because God forbid these pay-per-views are on at a fucking decent time. I have to watch the main event at 12:30 when I work at 6 a.m. the next
day. Is that what time it went on at Eastern? Was it 12:30?
It was like 11:40, 11:30.
Really? 11:30. Yeah, like, because there was only 9 matches total in this card.
No, it went on at 10:30. It went to 11:47.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Well, that's
media scrum started at like midnight.
Okay. But so what I mean is like, even going back and rewatching it, it's very much watchable. There isn't a point in a match where you're like, all right, this is this part of the match where we get the MJF jumping through the table to the outside. Yeah. We get MJF doing a moonsault like to the outside, which was like, what the fuck? And then like doing all these cool stuff with them on the outside and just the transitions between moves. MJF starts bleeding. We see that the spot that everyone's making fun of MJF for, not because it was bad or nothing, but because it was like a Japanese move. So like he talks all the time about how he hates New Japan and the Japanese product.
That was sick though. It
was a dope move, right?
Yeah.
So like, but like even like Swerve, a lot of people were tweeting about it. Like, for someone who doesn't watch Japanese wrestling, it's cool. It's funny that you did that.
Yeah.
But I just think the match is super rewatchable. It's super enjoyable.
Hey.
And it tells a great story.
The elbow drop was amazing, by the way.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But hey guys, Bret and Shawn was at WrestleMania.
This was Revolution Mania.
Revolution Mania. And I know Sammy in the Sammy and Ty interview that you guys should listen to if you haven't already.
Do it.
They talk about how they believe the wrestlers in the back believe that Double or Nothing is their version of WrestleMania since it was the first show. Right? But listen, Iron Man match happens at WrestleMania, okay? Yeah. And it was at Revolution.
Yeah. Hey, Revolution, proving it right here.
Yep.
There you go.
And Chris Jericho, subscribe to the Brock Lesnar method. If you're not the main event, you're on first, brother.
Yep. Off topic question though, did you guys mind that there wasn't a special stage and they just used the same stage? Did that bug you guys in any way?
That was special to me.
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, it was the same as the Dynamite stage.
I haven't watched it. Special to me.
You know what? I didn't think about it. Now it's bothering me. So thank you, Kyle, for ruining
it. I was surprised they didn't have the round things.
Oh my God. No, it didn't bug me, but like when I saw MJF's entrance, I did think about it and I was like, I wish that they would do more of that. Not like,
because the full gear one was huge.
But
like that was a big set, the one at full gear.
No.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So we're going to have cool different, like they could have just done the one at full gear for this one because that looks like a pay per view set. You know what I mean? Yeah. Keep that set for pay per views and the one, the Dynamite they have now for the regular TV shows.
I guess.
I'm okay with that. I like that idea, Kyle. Don't let Jackie bury you over here.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
What else is new?
Just because she can't start the For the Fed podcast, she's upset. Yeah,
she's so mad that it's not the Revival.
Clearly.
Because Zack Sabre Jr. didn't come out.
Her Revival t-shirts are just collecting dust right now.
Now, a little off topic, and we can end with this, but are you guys disappointed that there weren't any like special appearances? Usually at these AEW pay-per-views, we see somebody come out, you know, with CM Punk FTR, or Mercedes, Jay White. There was a bunch of people that were being rumored to maybe come out.
I didn't read any.
Well, yeah. I mean, not that it's like people thought, just people
naturally, people are like, okay, who's debuting or something like that.
Save it for the, like, they need something to get week to week now, right? Like, get people hyped week to week. If you bring like Punk back on a Dynamite, it's gonna like people are gonna start talking.
When are they going to Chicago next?
You know, but like if you bring Jay White on a Dynamite, like that's when people are gonna talk. You don't need to take moments away.
Oh, I think from Jay White's Fed bound for some reason.
Like I don't want to take that moment away from MJF after that match, right? Like he deserved that moment.
He did.
And I honestly thought Mercedes was going to be the surprise guest all night, even though I had an inside joke with Jackie that CM Punk in every match was going to come out in a spot. But
so CM Punk did put something on his story 2 hours ago, which is very interesting. I have it here. I want to hear you guys' take on it. And it's funny that we just talked about Brett and Sean because it had something to do with Brett. So he took a picture of he's wearing his Brett.
Oh yeah, hoodie. What would Bret Hart do?
Yeah, lacking any real motivation, but my discipline is strong. So we do it anyway. What would Bret Hart do?
Yeah, he's getting
coming back. Fucking point. Just come back. It's fucking ridiculous.
What would Bret Hart do? Not go back to the Fed. There you go.
No, what would Bret Hart do? Blame Goldberg. Blame Goldberg.
Blame Goldberg. The brawl out was because of Goldberg.
Yeah.
He wasn't there, but it was his fault.
Nah,
Goldberg used to come out of the locker room. We got in a fight in the locker room. Goldberg's fault.
Yeah, done. But yeah, so overall it was an incredible pay-per-view.
It was.
It just shows that AEW, I would say about 9 out of 10 times, because there's been like one or two pay-per-views that I didn't like, but 9 out of 10 times AEW is really good at not only booking these pay-per-views where every match has a storyline involved in it, even if it's like the tag match and it's a storyline we don't care about, still had a storyline involved in it.
Hey, I care about FTR coming back. That's basically the storyline. Everyone else couldn't
match. I'm just talking about the match in general. Okay. But yeah, no, it was still super enjoyable. Was happy to have Ant come back and just basically be the CM Punk cheering party for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That was fun. It was fun. Thank you for having me. I'll be back when CM Punk comes back so I can tell all you bums that he's back.
Wow, now you're stealing my gimmick.
Yeah, exactly, bro. Exactly.
Hey, but you're not...
And thank you for keeping wrestling real.
No, you're not Prince William anymore. I said his name on the draft night, and
Diagon
everyone
Black
was like, "What in the Harry Potter is going on here?"
That's the point, ladies and gentlemen. That is the point.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. It was fun.
Thank you.
I might watch Wednesday.
My, My favorite part is Kyle basically doing the video package summary of Wardlow and Joe and Ant being like,
maybe I should watch a little bit more. But guess what? I don't have to because I'm not on this show anymore. But thank you for tuning in.
Anthony.
There it is.
Thank you for tuning in
and welcome me back with open arms. I'm going to go on another hiatus until the Muffin Man's back.
All right.
Well, thank you to Aunt Jackie, Kyle, and everybody who is live in the chat right now watching the show with us. We don't need to do plugs. You're here. You're listening. You're having a good time.
I want to do one plug.
Go do a plug.
Just one plug. And it's what I was just talking about. So me and Aunt, you guys want to catch us. We are bringing back our eFed. The AWF is coming back.
Anybody else in the chat ever again, I promise.
And it's on Twitter, twitter.com/the_AWF. There's a registration still open. We're going to be creating people in 2 weeks, or actually next week.
And please sign up to be a women's wrestler.
Yeah, we need
they need them.
Thank you for everyone that signed up in the chat from this community and has come over and helped out. So if you guys are all in anywhere interested in joining our eFed, that's where you can get follow and then register. So yeah, we're excited to get that back. That's the only plug I had.
Well, thank you guys for listening to a special review episode of Elite POV. And remember, I'm trying to think of a good Hangman one because he had the blood.
You don't need a fork to retire again.
You don't need a fork to have a death match. We'll see you guys on Friday.